You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Diet books are never ending on the bestseller list. Now, every week, a new one seems to pop up that says that their nutritional program is the best way to lose weight, to shed that muffin top, to increase your lifespan, to improve your energy and brain power, you know, to be that superhero that you've always wanted to be. Now, there are, the diets of allergy-free diet, the anti-inflammatory diet, the plant-based diet, lectin-free diet, green smoothie juice diet, hundreds of paleo diets, alkaline diet, Mediterranean diet, ketogenic diet, alkaline diet, the blood type diet. I mean, I can go on and on and on with a list of thousands of diets out there. Now, are you not confused? Now, what shall I eat, doc? What is the best diet for me? Now, these are the questions that I get all the time from my new patients every single day. So today on Wellness for Life, we have Dr. Ben Weitz, a functional medicine and sports medicine doctor who specializes in clinical nutrition, digestive disorders, diabetes, and cardiovascular health. Dr. Ben also has a weekly podcast, the Rational Wellness Podcast, on both iTunes and YouTube. He is here to shed some light about some of these popular diets, if they are for everyone or maybe they're not. Now, this will be an enlightening discussion between two colleagues, and I'm so happy to have Dr. Ben here. Welcome.
Hi, Suzanne. I'm so happy to be on your radio show today.
Yeah, you bet. Now, this is all about to go paleo or not to go paleo. Now, that's exactly the question of the day.
Okay.
So,
go ahead.
Talk to me about paleo. What do you think about it?
Okay, so to begin with, I'd like to say that I certainly think that there are some good things about the paleo program. I think the fact that the paleo diet has gotten a lot of people off of processed carbs is a great thing. But to begin with, first of all, I think there's a lot of confusion as to exactly what the paleo diet is. You know, when you look at primitive man, it all depended upon where he lived. So if you looked at Greenland Eskimos, they ate a lot of seal meat and whale blubber. You know, does that mean we should all eat a diet of seal meat and whale blubber? I don't think so. If you look at the Yukon Bushmen, they ate a lot of mongo-mongo nuts. If you looked at the Maasai, they ate the blood of cows. They ate raw cow milk. You know, they ate the cows. Depending upon where you live, you ate different foods. And I think the key is that the challenges that primitive man had to face were basically starvation. That was the number one thing. How am I going to get enough food to live to the next day, the next week, the next month? And then secondarily, you know, how am I going to survive an infection or a parasite or something like that? And their challenges were not, how do I avoid chronic diseases like heart disease, diabetes, autoimmune disease or cancer, you know, that those are the challenges that we face, that we're worried about. How am I going to avoid cancer when I'm 60 or 70 or something like that? But primitive man faced completely different challenges, you know, and if you look at the way we're designed, you know, the way primitive man is designed, it's really to meet those challenges. So therefore, you know, one of the premises I want everybody to understand is we shouldn't follow the paleo diet because that's the way primitive man ate. Now, that doesn't mean that some patients, some people we know don't do great on the paleo diet. And I certainly have patients who do.
So then, we know then what you're saying is that we don't want to follow the paleo diet because of the paleo man ate it.
Right.
Why do we want to follow the paleo diet then?
Okay, so, well, first of all, I just like to go into some of the mechanisms that are built into our body that allow us to avoid starvation, and then that will give us some insights into what type of diet might be better for us. And then, of course, you know, it depends on each person and a whole lot of other factors. But so to begin with, there's a number of factors built into our instincts as to how we're going to survive and avoid starvation, which for many thousands of years was the biggest threat to our existence. So, for example, we're omnivores. So that means that we can consume plant matter and animal matter. And so that makes it easier to find food. You know, we find you know, a root, or we find something growing, we can eat it. We kill an animal, we can eat it. So that's beneficial. Now, another one of our instincts is to crave sweets. I'm sure everybody knows out there that we tend to crave sweets and sugar and things like that. And, you know, why is that? Is that a good thing? Well, in today's modern world, when we're facing chronic diseases like diabetes, probably not the best instinct to have. However, when you're foraging in the forest as a primitive man and you're trying to figure out what you can eat, you need something that's going to give you some calories, that's going to allow you to survive. So you're picking up things and you're chewing on them, and something that has some sweetness is likely to have some carbohydrate calories that's going to allow you to, you know, sustain yourself for another day or so. So we have this craving for sweets, and, you know, that was a good thing then. That may not be a good thing now. We also have a tendency to overeat. How many of us have found ourselves at some point in our life overeating? Now, today, where food is so plentiful, overeating is not a great thing. But back then, think about it, you know, you killed an animal, or maybe the tribe killed an animal, and, you know, you had no way to store it, so you gorged. You ate as much as you could. You stored some of it as fat, which was a good thing. So our bodies are actually designed to store fat. Is that a good thing now? No, it's really not. But back then, that helped us survive. You know, how do we store fat? Well, our body surges our insulin level. Everybody knows that eating sugar causes insulin. But, you know, how many of us know that if we eat a large consumption of protein, our insulin surges also? Now, why is that? In today's world, when we face diabetes as a major chronic disease, is that a good thing? You know, it's really not. But back in primitive times, insulin was a way to help our body to store fat. And if we can store some fat, that gives us some stored energy to help us survive a few days or a few weeks when there's no food.
I love what you're saying, because what you're saying is that we are not primitive. We are modern, man. We've got different ways of dealing with life. We don't need those instinctive survival mechanisms anymore.
Right.
And because of that, we've got to also then apply how we eat our day-to-day in lives so that we can maintain a healthy, happy body and system, so that you can go ahead and do the things that you want to do with your life, not in where you're trying to survive, whether you're going to live or not. That's
exactly.
Great.
And, you know, I think we just have to be aware of that. You hear people go, oh, we should eat that way. That's the way we're designed. So the point I'm trying to make is, you know, our bodies are designed to fight different challenges than we have today. Let's take inflammation as another challenge. Everybody's heard inflammation, you know, is a major factor in every chronic disease. It's a big factor in heart disease. It's a big factor in cancer. It's a big factor in autoimmune diseases, you know. But how many of us know what causes inflammation? Well, we've all heard sugar, but, you know, one of the reasons why people are confused is there are studies that show when you eat a bunch of fat, it surges your inflammation. There are studies that show when you eat sugar, it surges inflammation. You know, the reality is, short term, almost any meal will cause a short surge in inflammation. And then you think, well, why would that be? Well, because, you know, back in primitive times, If you got a cut and you suffered an infection, you couldn't take antibiotics because there weren't any. So how can your body fight an infection? Well, the body upregulates the level of inflammation. That helps the immune system to fight off an infection. So, you know, there are so many mechanisms in the body that create inflammation. You know, if you study this as you do and I do, you know, you find all these different markers for inflammation. You've got C-reactive protein, and you have TNF-alpha and galectin-3 and all these different pathways that create inflammation. So you realize, holy cow, our bodies are designed to create inflammation. Now, once again, in a primitive world, upregulating that immune system, surging that level of inflammation, that was very, very helpful to help our bodies fight off the challenges we faced then. But today, chronic inflammation is a big problem. So, you know, we ought to think twice about trying to follow the ways our bodies were designed to deal with stresses back then today. Today we have different challenges, and so, you know, we need to see what kind of a program is going to best allow us to handle those stresses that we face today.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're talking about this inflammation, because absolutely, inflammation is the root cause of many, many diseases that we deal with, if not every one of them. But it's chronic inflammation. We
exactly.
definitely want to be able to address acute, because if we are hurt and we fall and we cut open our knees, you know, we don't want infection. We need our immunity to react appropriately. But sometimes it actually goes haywire and becomes chronic. And that's the core problem. Let's talk a little bit about something that, you know, we talk about paleo and I'd like to talk about a little bit about the plant-based food diet.
Sure.
You know, and the reason why I say this is because I've tried it, man. I am someone that can not only eat veggies and fruits, nuts and seeds. You
yeah.
do that. All you're going to, if you watch me eat that way without any animal protein, you're going to see me wither away right before your eyes. I've tried it and it is not a pretty picture. My hair starts falling out. My skin is wrinkly, you know, and I'm in my 50s. So I don't want more wrinkles. My muscles start to shrink. I just totally get depressed and anxious and I can't sleep and my belly bloats out like I'm 6 months pregnant, you know, but there's so many doctors now saying that we all have to go purely vegan. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, and, you know, this is very timely because we're getting questions all the time now about What the Health, that documentary that a lot of people have been watching that promoting a vegan style of eating. You know, I have some patients who do great on a vegan style of eating. And, you know, part of the issue is some people psychologically just can't handle eating meat. You know, they've seen the videos of the way they treat the animals and things like that. And, you know, if whatever program you're on, we can test you. We can look at how your body processes those foods. Are you able to regulate your blood sugar? Are you able to keep your levels of inflammation in check? You know, are you creating you know, a buildup of fats in your blood, in the cholesterol levels? You know, how is your body handling that diet? And, you know, some people do well on a vegan diet. Like you, I don't do very well on it either. And I think it makes a lot more sense to include animal protein. It's really hard to get the proper amount of protein in a vegetarian diet. You know, the only complete source of protein is soy. And we know that eating lots of soy is not going to be a good thing for most people. You know, it tends to increase estrogen levels. And, you know, some people do fine on a moderate amount of soy, but, you know, for most of us, especially Westerners who didn't grow up eating soy, eating a bunch of soy is probably not a great thing. And the only other ways you get protein from a vegetarian diet is, you know, you have to consume, foods like beans. And, you know, beans can be a great food and they do have a moderate amount of protein, but you have to get a lot of carbs to get your protein in. So, you know, I think that you can make a vegetarian or vegan diet healthy, but you really have to work at it. I've had, you know, so many patients come in my office and come in for nutritional counseling, and they're on a vegetarian diet, and they're not eating any vegetables. They're just eating all starchy carbs, you know? And it's like, are you kidding me? This is not vegetarian. So, you know, so I think for most people, a vegetarian diet, it's going to be hard to get the proper amount of protein. Probably not going to get adequate levels of vitamin B12 and iron, and you're not going to get proper amounts of omega-3s. So, you know, I think for most people, a vegan diet is not going to be ideal. I know it's not for me. But, you know, each person, you have to see how they do on that particular program. But I will say that, you know, vegans and vegetarians eat a lot of beans. And, you know, that's one of the gripes I have with the paleo diet is, you know, they say that eating legumes or beans are bad because they contain lectin. And, you know, this has become a common thought is that, you know, lectins are, they call them anti-nutrients. And so the bottom line is, what are lectins? Well, these are these proteins. And there have been some animal studies that if you give these animals like huge amounts of lectin, it creates problems for them. But bottom line is, you know, lectins are secreted by plants, and it disincentive animals from eating them. But however, those lectins for most of us really don't create problems. First of all, if you soak your beans, lectins are reduced. If you cook your beans, lectins are pretty much eliminated. And, you know, everybody talks, the paleo folks talk about beans as being high in lectins and whole grains as being high in lectins. But there's over 50 different fruits, vegetables, and spices that are high in lectins. So if you really want to cut out lectins from your diet, you've got to cut out so many healthy foods. It's unbelievable. I mean, tomatoes, sweet potatoes, zucchini, you know, chocolate, you know, coconut. There are so many things that have lectins, you know. And you know, the whole concept is just because a plant has a very small level of a toxin doesn't necessarily mean that that plant is harmful for you. What a lot of people don't realize is that very small amounts of toxins can actually be beneficial for our body. It's kind of the concept of homeopathy. Most people don't realize that a lot of the foods that we think of as antioxidants, like vitamin C and vitamin E that are found in foods, well, it turns out that one of the main ways that they actually help us is that they are the opposite. They're actually pro-oxidants. They create an oxidative effect in our body, but that stimulates our body's own innate oxidation, creates its own antioxidants. So, you know, small amounts of these types of toxins actually are stimulatory and beneficial for our body. So,
more with Dr. Suzanne Bennett in Wellness for Life coming up. Do you have long-standing allergy and or asthma problems? Do you want to breathe easier and reduce your allergy and asthma symptoms? Tired of breathing aids that just don't work? Then let me introduce you to Molecule Air Purifiers. Molecule introduces a breakthrough science that is finally capable of destroying air pollutants at a molecular level. What does that mean? Molecule erases the full spectrum of indoor air pollutants, including those 1,000 times smaller than what a HEPA filter can catch, so you can breathe easier and experience the life-changing effects of clean air. In fact, one customer even said that she was able to breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years. Molecule has already helped allergy and asthma sufferers around the country better cope with their conditions and significantly reduce their symptoms. So get Molecule and breathe easy. Order now and use code WellnessForLife for $75 off your first order. Just visit Molecule.com and use code WellnessForLife to save $75. That's Molecule.com, Molecule.com. Now back to Dr. Suzanne Bennett and Wellness for Life.
That's great that what you're talking about. That's actually the phenomenon called hormesis.
Exactly.
Hormesis, right?
Exactly.
You know, a biological phenomenon that is beneficial. It'll improve our health, help us with stress tolerance or with growth or longevity. And it's a result from exposure to very, very small dosages of a toxic or lethal chemical. But just a small amount, and that will shift our body's ability to be more resilient, right?
Exactly. So, you know, what I'm saying is you can take something from the vegan diet, which is, you know, eating beans, which turn out to be a really beneficial food, especially if you soak them and cook them properly. And, you know, beans are like a great low glycemic carbohydrate. You know, if everybody's familiar with the glycemic index, that's the rate at which foods create a blood sugar surge in our body. You know, it's 0 to 100 with 100 being glucose. Well, beans are like in the 20s. So, you know, if you want a high fiber, long-term source of carbohydrate, you know, beans are excellent. They're rich in all sorts of nutrients.
Oh, you know, I'm glad you're talking about beans. You know, I'm from Korea and we eat a lot of beans. And I love red bean. It's not very common in America, but it's called aduki beans, A-D-U-K-I beans. And aduki beans are super high in potassium. It's one of the best sources of potassium, in fact. So in my practice, I actually recommend patients to take in aduki beans at nighttime when they have trouble with calming themselves down and they have trouble going to sleep, because potassium is the mineral that helps our parasympathetic nervous system to go up, and it calms down our sympathetic nervous system. So, you know, for me, the way we, the way we've always cooked beans is just, we just cook it for long, long periods of time. Now, I had a doctor, Dr. Stephen Gundry, on my show about, 5 months ago, 6 months ago. Yeah. And he has a very popular bestseller book, Plant Paradox. He really made it big about, you know, the lectins and all that. And when we talked a lot about how to get rid of the lectins, because I eat all the foods, a lot of these foods that are high in lectins. I love them and I eat them and my body does great on them. But what I learned from him was that it's not just soaking, it's really pressure cooking. I love my pressure cooker. It's so much fun. And I use it all the time now. He says that the pressure cooker gets rid of all the lectins except for gluten grains. Every grain out there, every seed out there, every fruit and vegetables that have high levels of lectins, you can completely neutralize them by pressure cooking them. So that's the thing that we got to talk about. I would like to, because pressure cooking then it also denatures some of the vitamins and phytonutrients that we all want too, right? Pressure cooking can do that. So, we got to find a really great medium. And where is it that we can do both? Eat the raw, but don't eat too much raw. Cook them so that we get rid of the lectins. Be careful with eating too much of one thing, you know, and which I actually am thinking about when I'm saying that is about fat, too much of fat. I have more people coming in to my practice now on this kick about having butter with a coffee, having butter with every meal, and their cholesterol levels are just sky high. There's inflammation in their body. And we just got to change the diet again, you know? So can we talk a little bit about that? I totally agree with you.
I just had a patient last week, 40-year-old guy. You look at this guy, he's in great shape and, you know, lean, and he had a freaking heart attack. Why? Because he's eating butter in his coffee and he's following the paleo diet. And, you know, look, there are probably, I'm sure that there are plenty of people that can do great on a high-fat diet, but he's not one of them. So we've got to find a program that's going to work best for each person.
That's right. And that's what we do. We do personalized medicine, Ben.
Absolutely.
We look at every aspect of that individual. It's not like a cookie cutter type of situation. You have to look at their history. You have to look at their genetics. You have to look at their diet. You know, where they're from. I ask everyone, where are their ancestors from? Where are they? You know, in America, we're all mixed. But we all have genetics, you know.
That's true.
So it's super important that we look at all that. What else do you think that we can do? What else can we do as in the people in the audience? They go to different doctors, but maybe they don't have the access to doctors. They don't have the funds to go see integrative medicine doctors that are mainly cash practice. You know, we don't take a lot of insurance. So what is it that we can do?
Well, one thing that I would recommend that everybody do is, you know, probably been to your doctor and he runs the routine chem screen and he tells you what your total cholesterol is, and then there's a calculated LDL and an HDL and a triglycerides. But everybody should go and get what's called an advanced lipid profile. That's a category of tests. You know, there's a bunch of tests out there. There's the Berkeley Heart Lab. There's the Cleveland Heart Lab. We use a test from SpectraCell a lot called the cardiometabolic panel. There's the Boston Heart Lab. Anyway, so these break down your heart risk in a much more effective manner. You know, it turns out that 50% of the people who have heart attacks actually have normal cholesterol. But what these tests do is look at, first of all, they get a true LDL particle number rather than a calculated number. Number two is you need to know if your LDL particles are small and dense, which puts you at increased risk, or if those particles are large and fluffy, in which case it's not really a problem. And ditto with your HDL. HDL is considered the good cholesterol, and it's supposed to be protective. But if you have the right type of HDL-2B particles, you know, the large fluffy ones, and those are super protected. But you can have a high HDL level, but it's not, if it's not the truly protective kind, it won't be as beneficial. Plus, these tests usually offer CRP levels, which is a measure of inflammation, and homocysteine, which is another cholesterol-independent cardiovascular risk factors. So if you can get one of these tests done, you'll have a better sense of how your body is doing and whether it's thriving on your high fat or your high carb or whatever program you're on. And then, you know, you can use that as a way to gauge how your nutritional program is affecting your cardiovascular and diabetic risk factors.
You know, what you're saying is super important here, Dr. Ben, because you know, all the internists and the family practice doctors out there, they know how to do the cholesterol panel. You know, we get cholesterol LDL, HDL, triglycerides, and maybe if you're lucky, the ratio. But that's just a screening. It's just a screening. It doesn't give us enough information. And
no, it doesn't.
These
LDL number isn't even a true number. It's just a calculated number. They don't actually count the number of particles.
Right. And that number of particles is super important to know. And the way it, the type of, meaning the size and the quality of that LDL is important. Now, these labs, they all take insurance. They take Medicare. So every doctor actually should order them. Rather than doing the screening, every doctor, considering that heart disease is the number one killer of America, still to this day.
Right. The problem is these labs time with the patient to explain what they mean. It takes more than, you know, the 5 minutes that a conventional doctor has with his patient. So that could be one reason why there's a
good point
not to order these panels.
Good point. Oh man, Dr. Ben, we had so much fun here. This is awesome. I so appreciate it. DrWeitz.com, and that's DrWeitz.com. DrWeitz.com, you're going to find a slew of information about his practice, how he works, his blogs, his radio shows. Everyone go and listen. And go and take a look at his website. So appreciate it. Thank you so much, Dr. Ben. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show, right here on Radio MD. Stay well.